Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of James chapter 2, covering verses 1 through 9 in this study. The message is titled, Fulfill the Royal Law. This is Pastor Greg welcoming you to our King James Bible study. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to us by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send your letter along with any check or money order contributions in support of this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com by scrolling down to the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with a current events update and our study in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, titled Fulfill the Royal Law. This is part 1 of 2. Update.
For those of you not on MeWe, I mentioned this. Pre-trib rapture believers say what we do when we close off the live stream. We say, see you here, there, or in the air, right? I was wondering, what do people who reject the pre-trib rapture say? I think they say, see you here, there, or in despair. I had to share that one.
That was from Princess Bride, right?
Yeah, I think so. So with that, we have to laugh. We have to keep your sense of humor or you go crazy, amen? Some of you are already crazy, but, you know, that's another topic. 1, 2, 3 headline reviews in the news. The Biden Gestapo is setting the stage for the Antichrist police state. Whatever do you mean, Pastor? The Biden administration is setting up a Gestapo-like organization and asking Americans to report what they're calling potentially radicalized friends and family. Now, according to them, that means you're a Trump supporter, you believe in the Second Amendment, you believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible, you're against abortion, any of those things, and if you're against the LGBT, you're a hateful bigot and a radical. So that's who they're going to be. This is what this from the story says. The Biden administration said it would also work with large tech companies on increased information sharing to help combat radicalization.
Do they define that in the article?
No. No, but what I just said is what they mean. Yeah. But liberals are, you know, even if they define something, they don't mean the same thing you and I mean. Like the word radicalized. Radicalized originally was used about people who would want to murder you. Islamic terrorists who want to blow you up. Now they're using that term about anybody who's against their liberal agenda. But there's some good news. Nickelodeon's ratings drop as the network pushes the LGBT content to children. So Nickelodeon, according to a new report, is seeing a dramatic drop in viewership as the network continues to push LGBTQ-related content on its programming. And so that, I have to be honest with you, surprises me. And there's so many parents who are just terrible people and raising their children to think that it's okay to be gay, that kind of stuff, that I thought that it wouldn't really affect their ratings that much. So that's kind of a pleasant surprise. Pirates and Princesses, an independent news blog, noted the Children's Network has lost over two-thirds of its audience in the past 4 years. That's how radical, you talk about radicalized? That's how radicalized the liberals are. They don't even care if they destroy their own networks. CNN has been just hanging by a thread, and if they didn't have all kinds of help, I mean, they are like affirmative action in the news media. And if it wasn't for that, CNN would already be broke. And that's the way these guys get by with it. To those who reject the idea that a whale would eat a human being, as in the book of Jonah, we have number 3. A man is swallowed by a whale and survives in Bible-like story. He says, I was completely inside the whale. as far as I know, this isn't a Bible-believing Christian we're talking to here either. This is just some guy whose job was to dive down and loosen lobster from the bottom of the 45-foot deep ocean, and then they would, so they could collect them. And while he's doing this, a whale comes along and scoops him up in his mouth. This guy doesn't even know what's happened to him. He at first thought that he had been bit by a shark and that the blood was so bad that he couldn't see through the water. Then he realized the water is inside this thing. He's feeling the inside of the whale.
How did he get out?
What he started, I thought I added another, well, he's described being inside the whale, and he started banging on it and everything and shaking and everything, and the whale comes up to the surface and like does this himself, about knocks the guy out, and then spits him out. So, and that's not Babylon Bee, by the way. This is Christian Headlines. It's a legitimate news source. But it's on other news. I've heard other news outlets and everything.
How long was he?
It wasn't very long. It wasn't like 3 days and three nights like Jonah. All right, with that, let's get into our study with a word of prayer. And we'll open our study with a word of prayer, if you would. And ask my wife to open Bible study prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day and for letting us all come out tonight. I pray that you help us to listen, to take in the teaching, and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you give great clarity and bless him as he teaches. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Fulfill. Nobody mentioned I misspelled that. Fufflil, the royal law. Yes. The one time I need you. Well, you know, it's one of those meme things where they spell things wrong and say, if you can read that, that just means you're a genius.
I think I'm a genius.
You're a genius if you could read that. So, James chapter 2, we're going to read 9 verses. So, let's get in there and read the odd verses, which means number 1. So, let's read verses 1 through 9 in James chapter 2, odd verses. Read with me. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. All God's people say amen to that? I think so. So we begin with a verse that has confused some folks, but a careful reading clears matters up for us. Look again at verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And at first reading of that, the first time I read it, probably the first 2 or 3 times, I just was a little confused by it. Didn't really know what to make of it. It sounded like he's saying that, you know, you shouldn't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. My brethren, have not the faith. See, it's all about your inflections and how you read it. Another way of stating it is this. My brethren, you do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ whenever it comes to the way you treat people. That's how I'd explain it. I'm not suggesting an update to the translation. Just like Shakespeare that isn't even divinely inspired, I don't think it needs to be rewritten. It just needs to be carefully read. Amen? A couple of you feel the same way. I'm glad I'm not alone. But it's saying that you don't have the same attitude about people that Jesus said we should have with respect of persons. In other words, it's discriminatory treatment. I can tell you, I have no fear of one thing where I may not have done it right, may not have done exactly what it ought to be, but I'll tell you this. When anybody comes through the doors in this church building, I don't care how they're dressed. I don't care whether they look rich or poor. I don't care what their melatonin is in their, or is it melanin? Melatonin is what I take to sleep. The melanin, skin color,
yeah.
How much hair you don't or do have, whether it's gray hair or, you know, dark hair or colored hair, or bleach blonde, doesn't matter. That's what it means. You should not have respect for persons in the sense that you treat one better than the other. There's stories where great men have walked into a building and everybody just drops everything and treats them like royalty. And it's noticeable that they kind of push off some other people and ignore them. And some people like that. But there's other cases where that great man or woman said, no, please don't treat me any different than these other people. Churches, we're talking about really in the context here. And there have been people who would visit a church and suddenly the pastor want to make a big deal about their presence. And they would stop and say, please, I'm just like anybody else here. Go on with what you're doing. Treating people different based upon what we call today identity politics. See, today, as I said before, the civil rights movement said we wanted to look for a day where men were not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Well, now the left in this country wants everything judged by the color of your skin, your gender, sex, your pronouns, you know, all that. It's all identity politics. Instead of us being unified and one, they want segregation again, only on their terms. It's amazing. They shot George Wallace for that, and now they're pushing it. So this cuts both ways, by the way, and it's always wrong. What do I mean? Well, James here is concerned with mistreatment of the poor. And it's probably more often that you see that. Look what he says, verses 2 and 4 again. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and there's the word again, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Well, again, they've robbed us of that wonderful word. This isn't a homosexual. Gay clothing is just bright and pleasant clothing. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. That's pretty low. Now, here's when we do show a little partiality. Yeah. When someone comes in and they're injured or old, elderly, infirm, have a baby, or getting ready to, somewhere around the 7, 8, 9 month area. Stephen testify as a witness. I had him move a couple weeks back when Bethany was here. And so now Stephen agrees with those of you who think the pews are too closed and he knocks his knees on stuff. Yes. So we appreciated him moving for Bethany that day.
Or the pew
earth
sit on.
Yeah, they're not a lounge or a couch or anything. By the way, You can sit up front. There's plenty of leg room. But I guess I spit too much. People don't want to sit there. They won't get spit on. I get you back there too. So the answer is yes. Look at verse 4. Are ye not then partial in yourselves or become judges of evil thoughts? The answer is yes. You shouldn't be treating people differently based on those things. But the reverse case is also condemned by God's word. What do you mean? Well, there's sometimes where people actually treat the poor, because they're poor, with a respect, not normal respect, but with a respect undeserved. In other words, they let them get by with things. They let them, well, let's look scripture with scripture. Letting the poor get by with something because they are poor is forbidden. Did you know that? It's right there in the Bible. Exodus 23. Turn there, if you will. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 23. We covered this a while back in our Exodus studies online, our office studies. Exodus 23, verse 3. And I see Jenny Albaugh turning there. At least I hope that's a Bible you're turning. Once you get there, Jenny, read that. See, that was telling them under the law, you don't treat a poor man differently because he's poor. And neither should the poor be abused or underrepresented. So, in other words, either way is wrong. Look at verses 6 and 7, the same chapter, Exodus 23, 6 and 7. Everybody's there, go ahead and read that. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. So that's basically what he said. He's just calling for fair treatment. Don't treat them worse than they ought to be treated, but don't treat them better than they ought to be treated. You know, that's what's wrong with our, I'll just give this statement as an example here. It's what's wrong with our welfare system. I am all for helping those in need. But I know most of the people I've known on welfare are rip-off artists. They do not need the help they're getting. They could work. They won't work. And then a lot, I've known several women who got pregnant on purpose so that they could go on welfare. I know a couple of different women who had babies every couple of years so they could get a pay raise. That's insane. Shame on any and all of our politicians who have designed a welfare system like that. And that's what this is talking about. It shouldn't be that way. Jill? And let me just let you in on a secret. You know, the people who did that were in the Democratic Party. And the reason they did it was to buy votes. That's exactly right. Don't think I'm being partisan. I can tell you all about the Republicans who are all for illegal immigration, like the Koch family and the Bushes, so that they can buy votes. And they get a lot of money from the wealthy corporations who get that free labor or low-cost labor of illegals. It's going on in both parties, the crookedness. That's what's killing this country. But equal protection under the law originated with God's law. Look a few pages over in Exodus. Look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Our whole legal system was Locke, Blackstone, the Magna Carta, all these documents that then we incorporated in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and everything. All of those used God's law as their basis. So when people quote a Blackstone or a Locke or somebody like that, they were getting either, they either quoted directly these same verses we're reading, or at least referenced them as the basis for what they taught in law. Now look at Leviticus 19:15. If you're there, read it. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. That is God's way of saying what we say, equal protection under the law. And equal application and protection under the law is codified in our Bill of Rights. But like all of our other rights in the Bill of Rights, they're not given to us by the government. They're given to us by God. The Constitution declares that the government, federal government, has a duty to protect your God-given rights. And it's very important you understand that. You do not have the right to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, the right to own and bear arms. None of those were given to you by the government. They are God-given rights that we, the people, and our ancestors, the founders of this country, established as fact that our federal government would protect your God-given rights, not dispense them. And specifically in our Constitution, it's the 14th Amendment, the equal protection under the law. But as lawyers tend to do, there's a lot of legalese and everything, so it doesn't come right out and say those words specifically, but that's where the judges, the courts and judges, the Supreme Court, have established the Equal Protection Clause from the 14th Amendment. You can read more on that, www.law.cornell.edu, and you click on the Constitution and you can read all the amendments and everything right there, and they actually have the legal commentary and everything if you want to go in depth. It's all there free of charge. So some examples of respect of persons we saw right there, that there should be equal representation. That's a flaw in our law. There are a lot of men and women who should be in prison. Why didn't they go to prison? Because they had the money to hire the dream team. Then there's a lot of people who go to prison who shouldn't be there because they don't have the money to hire the proper legal representation. And most of these court-appointed attorneys have no interest in doing anything but drawing a paycheck. And some people I know have had to deal with that. And, I'll just say this. Our system is not perfect. And that's one of the biggest flaws in our system. But I still think it's the best one going. Amen. On the planet right now, I think our system is the best one going. Yeah. There'll be a better one come. When Jesus comes back, things get better. There'll be equal representation under the law. But until then, we're stuck dealing with it. Here's another one, affirmative action. The affirmative action laws have hurt minorities in this country because what it has allowed minorities in some cases to get jobs they're not qualified for and go to school that they're not qualified for, they're not able to even learn. And so then there are people who have graduated from Ivy League schools and some of the big best schools, academically higher schools, and those people who got put in those schools by affirmative action couldn't learn. Then they gave them their diploma, their degree anyway. And what could they do after they got out of school?
They became President Obama.
Well, that can happen. There's probably about half our Congress in some way or another. But these people couldn't work. They would hire them because they had a degree in this or that. They went to this great school, and then they couldn't. And let me tell you something. It's not just going on, by the way, it's not just going on in affirmative action. I mean, it's just going on across the board. Our education system is passing people, and they haven't learned. And I told you, Jenny and others, Doug and others can tell you, who have worked for the government. They hire people who are totally underqualified. They can't even write in complete sentences. They can't hardly talk, some of them. They go all day long and don't do anything at all. And again, I'm not just talking about minorities. I'm telling you, I work with two white people who are as dumb as that piece of wood right there on the end of the pew. They couldn't do anything. How'd they get the job? One way or another, it was somebody they knew or something, but it was not set up with equal representation. There was somehow somebody had a leg up they shouldn't have had. That's why God warns against it. That's why socialism never worked.